Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Welcome into another edition of the NFL Front Office Show. I am your host, Brian Hughes, brought to you by the Sports City Chefs. We have a fantastic show scheduled for you today. We will be talking defensive backs, getting ready for the draft, which is less than a month away. We'll be talking about safeties. We'll be talking about corners. Who's the best prospects to take? Who should your team be targeting? What type of schemes they fit? In order to make sense of this, we're also going to be bringing in a friend of the show, director of college scouting at the Sporting News, and also director of scouting for Optimum Scouting, my friend Eric Galco. He'll be back in the building with us. But before I go any further, let me bring in the one, the only, my co-host, the man with a master plan, Rodri. How you doing today, buddy?
How you doing, buddy? All good. Excited for the show.
I am as well, my friend. So, not to get too off track, because I definitely have a couple NFL topics that I want to get to, but one of the things that I noticed when I was preparing for this week's show and kind of going back over notes and watching, you know, additional tape on both corners and safeties is I think the safety class is one of those classes that I think there's three, four, maybe even five guys that are serviceable, that could be starters, but there's such a wide variety, the spectrum of who everybody believes to be the number two corner or the number three corners. I've seen just on, you know, some other quote-unquote expert sites, you know, like some of the big major market, I've seen the guy that I have ranked as my number two safety, I've seen him ranked as low as number 13 on other people's list. You know, a seventh-round priority free agent type guy. I've seen other guys have guys ranked way, way up that, you know, I didn't necessarily love. Did you find it difficult at all this week, Rodri, to rank the corners and safety class? Because I felt like after landing Collins at safety, everybody has something they do exceptionally, but there's not a complete package per se in this draft.
Yeah, I was going to bring up exactly the same point, Brian. It's kind of crazy, you know. I think you've just got to have your own mind on it. I think, you know, like these experts do. So-called experts, you know, they sort of pick their guys and, you know, like what they do better than others. And, you know, I just look at the way the game is today, the modern game, and I picked around that after Landon Collins and sort of, you know, gone and seen where their strengths are in coverage and coming up in the box and sort of, you know, just ranked them on my feelings towards that. But like you said, I think my number two guy was down around there also. So definitely not looking for a tap on the back off anybody with my top five, that's for sure. Just going my own way with it, Brian, I'm sure as you have. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding anyway, but we know this. You know, in two or three years' time, we'll see how good our top fives are. And, you know, we can sort of rate them against the people who get paid, you know, big bucks for these big companies and see how it sort of plays out. But I'm quite confident with my top five. Like I said, I've been putting time in, as you have, I'm sure. And just to see how they get on in the pro game. But, you know, for me, Landon Collins is helping out, you know, just his size and, you know, the sort of the way he plays
right.
The game. You know, he can sort of do it all. He's just something else, man. He's just something else.
All right. Well, here's the itinerary for the show, Rodri. I just want to tell to the listeners out there, for those of you who are listening in the chat room, we do appreciate it. For those of you who are listening online, we appreciate it. For those of you who listen to this on iTunes after the fact, we also appreciate it. Thank you very much for your support. We really appreciate it. The numbers have been nothing short of amazing, making this one of the top shows on the Sports City Chefs Network. We do appreciate it. Rodri, I want to talk a couple NFL topics, maybe two or three. We're going to talk about prospect rankings because Eric Galco, who came on with us when we were discussing offensive linemen, I just feel like he does a phenomenal job of really breaking these guys down. And he's going to be on with us today for approximately the last 20 minutes of the show. So we'll be able to ask him, you know, a wide variety of questions. This is our last group, defensive group, last positional group. So, I mean, we can really open this thing up and talk about pretty much anything, but, you know, we'll talk defensive back. So we really need to have this show wrapped up by 9:40. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and jump into the comments recently made by LeSean McCoy, which is essentially that he said to Buffalo media, and, you know, I'm sure he didn't mean it the way it sounded, but essentially what he said was that he didn't think Chip Kelly respected the Philadelphia Eagles stars. And this is something that, I, you know, myself and you have had a conversation on, and I actually said this exact same thing, that this would cause dissension in the locker room, that this would cause people to wonder, you know, how replaceable am I? You know, is there any loyalty to me? Because obviously it wasn't a money issue, as we've clearly talked about with, you know, DeMarco Murray getting paid, Ryan Matthews getting paid. What's your thoughts on the premise that LeSean McCoy brought up, which is that essentially Chip Kelly doesn't value players, he values just his system?
I always go back to the sort of Moneyball aspect, where, you know, it's the baseball film with Billy Beane, and the way he built his franchise up down in Oakland. I think Bill Belichick has sort of done it as well. Bill Belichick, I don't think he sort of favors players and favors his stars over other players. You know, every guy on the roster for me is important as each other. You know, and that's the way it should be. I understand where LeSean McCoy is coming from. I don't understand why, you know, he feels that certain, you know, stars should have more respect than anybody else. Because that does cause problems. You know, that will cause problems in a locker room. So for me, I just don't get why he's bringing it up now. It's a bit bitter for me. You know, he's in Buffalo. He did get sort of ostracized there and sent away. So I think he's just a bit bitter. But I think the way, you know, Chip Kelly runs his offense, runs his business, you know, I don't know really, Brian, of what how we treat stars and treat the lesser player. If you can call anybody a lesser player, you know, this professional business that they're in, and, you know, they should be professionals. I mean, LeSean McCoy's not really being a professional, right? You know, he's saying these things in the media. He's in Buffalo now. He's under Rex Ryan. You know, Rex Ryan, from watching Hard Knocks, from what I know about him, he sort of does, you know, the way he was with Darrell Revis, you know, the way he treated that situation. And Rex Ryan perhaps might get on much better with LeSean McCoy. I think that could be a fact. Every coach does their own thing, you know, and it all comes down to success at the end of the day. And Bill Belichick's one to look at. Doesn't have any favorites, treats everybody the same, even treats the lesser players. You know, he brings players in. I always have, you know, going in the fourth round, he sort of picks them in the second round, the first round, and fights us all. But, he, you know, he gets W's and he wins championships. But when a coach ends doing that, then you can question his methods and things. But I think this is just, you know, bitterness on the part of Sean McCoy. And, it, you know, to me, it's a bit childish, Brett, to be honest.
You know, my only problem, Rodri, and I'm going to be completely honest with you, I have no problem if he says, you know, look, the offensive scheme that I want to run, I'm looking for a different type of runner. Okay, I get it. You know what? 100% cut the guy. Or let's say he only brought in Ryan Matthews, like what looked like originally was going to happen. I get it. It's a different running back. The problem that I have, and I understand what you're saying, but when you start talking Moneyball, Billy Beane, and the Oakland Athletics, Billy Beane was a master of bringing in two players that were half the contract value of the original player that platooned and did two different things really well, and he would know what days to use them. You agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
So the problem that I have is, that's not really at all what happened here. You're talking about two guys' salary that actually equal more than what LeSean McCoy's salary equaled. McCoy, who's 26 years old, and oh, by the way, in Chip Kelly's system, has ran for more yards than anybody in the NFL over the course of the last 3 years. That's the problem I have. I'm okay with you cutting anybody on your roster. If the Denver Broncos came out today, and you know what, there may be anarchy in the street, but if they came out today and said, hey, look, we want to go in a different direction, you know, we need to save some cap space, we have other holes to address, so we're going to cut Peyton Manning. Would Denver fans be shocked and awed? Of course. But you know what? I understand it. It's a cost-cutting move. But if you say it's to save salary and then you bring in Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, whose contract is the same value, you're just bold-faced lying. That's the problem I have. It's not the moves he made this year. What I'm thinking is forward-thinking, Rodri. What is going to happen next offseason? I'm a free agent. Am I going to be a little more apprehensive now to sign with a team like Philadelphia? Because I know regardless of what they tell me to get there, oh, you know what? We want you to be a lifelong Eagle. We're going to give you a 5-year contract, you know, this and that. Well, Chip Kelly's already proven he has no problem with stars. Jeremy Maclin, gone. Trent Cole, cut. LeSean McCoy, cut. I mean, he's already proven that production on the field does not equate to job security. And that's really the only thing that NFL players have to go by. If I'm highly productive on the field, I know I'm going to have a job. In his system, that's not even the case. That's my only problem. You know, all I say is don't talk out of the side of your mouth. It's an expression that we use here in the United States. And I don't, you know, and I only say that because I don't know if you're familiar with it. But essentially what it means is be a straight shooter. Say what you mean and mean what you say. If you wanted to get rid of LeSean McCoy because you wanted a different style runner, then say that. Don't say it's a cost-cutting move. We're not idiots. And then bring in two running backs whose contracts are worth more than what LeSean McCoy's is worth. You don't think LeSean McCoy and every NFL player in the league doesn't know that what Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles said is just a bold-faced lie?
I do. You know, you make a great point. I think, you know, he brought in two North-South Hammers in Murray and Matthews, and, you know, it's obviously just playing to his scheme. He obviously fitted the scheme. You know, if he is lying, Brian, you know, you got to lose a bit of respect for him. To me, bringing in Kiko Alonso was a great move. He's done a lot of good things on defense. But like you said, you cut the Jeremy Maclin, Trent Cole, you know, Kyrie Williams, LeSean McCoy. You cut these guys, and, you know, you've got to say he hasn't got a problem. You know, he hasn't got a problem cutting stars. But then just be honest with it. Like you said, I agree with that, definitely. You know, I don't really think he needs to keep anybody happy. It all comes down to winning and losing, and I would take space on the field. To me, LeSean McCoy is a bit of business there, but yeah, you know, they bring in the 2014 offensive, you know, star and MVP in DeMarco Murray, so you know, he's replaced. There's got to be a bit of business there with LeSean McCoy. But I understand what you said, I understand what you were saying, and you know, it makes a good point. But I just don't think there's room to have favorites, you know, Brian. You know, despite the money they're making, you know, you've got to leave that at the door in the NFL. I think, you know, because players on less money than you are going to play better than you, and you know, then it all comes down to the contract negotiations, and you know, we all know what happens there. I think all this will be you know, brushed under the carpet, and you know, it'll just start playing, to be honest. So with, you know, LeSean McCoy can do his thing in Buffalo. And you know, Ryan Mathis and DeMarco Murray can be the armors in that backfield. You know, in his spread power scheme, which he loves, his power spread scheme. You know, he fit it better. We'll find out. Yeah, see how it goes. But hopefully he'll come out and say something about this now, and just be, like you said, be a straight shooter. I think you've got to be a straight shooter. And I just don't. You know, Bright, yeah. Something to talk about this time of year, and You just like you say, you got to be honest. I mean, be honest for the fans, Philadelphia fans. You know, they are some of the most intelligent fans in the league. They, you know, if he keeps doing that, they're going to find him out and they're going to pick him out and they're going to let him know about it. So you know, he needs to sort that out for sure, because he will be found out. And if he's gonna you know, BS the fans and BS the league, you just can't do it. Just can't do it.
I think you make some excellent points, Rodri. And like I said, you know, my whole thing is exactly what you said. I think every NFL team does not owe any NFL player anything other than an opportunity to play and perform. But like I said, my only problem is this. If you want to cut a player, cut the player. Just don't lie about the reason why you're cutting them. Say it's because, you know, you're looking for a different style player at that position. Say it's because whatever the politically correct terminology is, say it's that and insert there. But when you vehemently in the same offseason cut the player to save the contractual value, turn around and spend big money on the exact same position, to me it leaves you with egg on your face. It just doesn't look good. It's not a good look. But, Rodri, I want to get into the other subject because I think this is pretty interesting. Now, as you know, being primarily an NFL offseason show, we cover the draft a lot. And one of the NFL insider-type stories right now is that most GMs believe that there will, in fact, be a third quarterback taken in the first round. And the reason for that is when you start looking at quarterback needy teams, I'm just going down the list here, okay? Number one, Tampa, obviously. Number two, Tennessee. Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston could be gone there. You start heading down. You got Washington at five. I've heard multiple sources say that if Mariota is there at five, that they're poised to take him. You know, we'll see what happens. Six, you got the New York Jets. Seven, you got the Chicago Bears. St. Louis Rams, would they take Mariota if he was there? I don't know. I've heard multiple people say yes, they would, that Nick Foles is essentially just a stopgap. Cleveland at 12. I know you've heard the speculation as well as I have that they're, you know, they've got major concerns about Johnny Manziel, and if one of the top two guys fell, that they would, you know, that they would definitely be inclined to take him. You know, and then you start moving further down, 17, you have San Diego. We know that, you know, there's multiple reports saying that Phillip Rivers would not sign a contract extension with them. He's not ultra happy there. Cleveland has another pick at 19. You know, just to kind of give you a four instance, if you will, 24, we have Arizona. So there's quite a few teams here that could be looking quarterback, not to mention Denver at 28 is another possibility. But my question to you is this. Everybody has their rankings, but I have a two-parter for you, Rodri. Number one, do you think it's conceivable that we will see a third quarterback selected in the first round of this draft? And number two, if a quarterback is selected in the first round of the second-tier guys, you know, the Garrett Grayson, the Brett Hundleys, the Bryce Petties, the insert, you know, that second-tier guy here, who do you think the second-tier guy is that would be selected in the first round? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I go straight to Brett Hundley there, right? I just, you know what it's like, you know, your pro days, certain offensive coordinators, they fall in love with quarterbacks. See suddenly liking them, and they just go at it, you know, and the value of the position, you know, we know how valuable a quarterback is, right? You won't see this with any other position. They will gamble, you know. You can explain to a GM and a coach that you know, I want this guy. I believe I can coach him up. I can make him into a superstar. And if somebody sees that in the guy, Grayson or Brett Hundley, then there's no question it could happen. And I guarantee you on some draft boards, he's going to be up there, you know. It's going to happen. You're going to have players you don't expect to be up there. But he'll be high on their draft boards. And if I'm Tennessee, I'm thinking of trading that pick at two. You know, Mariota and James Winston both coveted. You know, Tampa are really looking to take one of them first. I don't blame her. I sort of feel sorry for the Cleveland Browns, for Johnny Manziel. You know, he needs to prove he's worthy of a place in the NFL now. He needs to prove that. They was unlucky with Brandon Whedon. You know the story. They've been so unlucky with quarterbacks over the years. It's incredible. You know, if you look at a list of quarterbacks, come back to Tim Couch. It's just crazy. They need a guy. So I could see them gambling, no doubt about it. For me, Brett Hundley would be the guy, Brian, if there's going to be another one taken. And I won't be surprised if another one's taken as well. You know, we could see four quarterbacks going in the first round. I'm not gonna say no to that, because just because of the value of the position. And if an offensive coordinator like Garrett Grayson or Bryce Petty or Brett Hundley likes him that much, then they will gamble and take him in the first round. You know, there's no question. We've seen it before. It's happened. You know, and it's worked. And it also hasn't worked. But we'll see what goes. You know, top five. I could see a few trades happening. Somebody's going to trade up from Mariota. How rich the offer to Tennessee will be, I do not know. That's something we'll have to wait and see. But I think Mariota and Winston are two quarterbacks who can sort of lead the franchise into the playoffs and beyond. You know, and we know that. And if an offensive coordinator falls in love with a Grayson, a Hundley, or Petty, or anybody really that they like that much, then they'll take a shot and gamble on him. All it takes is two teams to fall in love with one guy, but I know, and you know, the phone starts ringing on draft day, and as soon as somebody thinks that somebody else is interested in that player, then crazy things start to happen. You know, then we start seeing shock picks. You know, Hundley going at 12, or you know, going to the Browns or going somewhere. That's what I love about the draft. That's what I love about this game. You know, it's just we never know. It's just every time you think, you know, I define every time I think I know something's going to happen. Like if I'm going to say, you know, bet my house on Winston and Mariota going being the only two quarterbacks going in the first round, then I'll be foolish to do that, because there's no I don't think there's a chance you're going to have a shock. You know,
shock,
I think Brett Hundley's going to go. I think Brett Hundley's going to go in the first round also, and quite early. That wouldn't shock me at all. Depends on if somebody falls in love with him or Bryce, and that's what it'll come down to, bud.
Yeah, you know what, Rodri, and me and you, man, we're definitely on the same wavelength. I agree with you 110%. I have Brett Hundley rated as my number three quarterback, and I will tell you, and I've told a lot of people this, that everybody talks about the gap between one and two, the being a big gap between one and two to number three, four, five, six, and on. My gap is actually after the first quarterback. I think Jameis Winston is by far the best quarterback in this class. I think he throws with the most anticipation, played in a pro-style system. Several come-from-behind wins, plays clutch when he needs to. I just, you know, if you can get by the off-the-field stuff, I think on the field, he reminds me a lot of a guy like Matt Ryan. You go back and watch Matt Ryan when he played at Boston College, big arm, smart quarterback, just gets it. And upside-wise, you could make an argument that Jameis Winston may even be better than that. You know, I think Jameis Winston is going to be really good. Couple that with the fact that he had one loss, 26-1, as you know, as a starter at FSU. He's a pretty darn good player. I don't think Hundley is that far behind Mariota, and I'm going to tell you why. And I do agree with you. I think Hundley is going to get selected in the first round. Number one, he ran a pro-style offense. I can't stress how important that is. He ran a pro-style offense under Jim Mora, a former NFL head coach. He's running terminology that's NFL translatable, meaning he understands concepts and principles that NFL teams will teach him. He's a very smart guy. Number two, he's big and athletic. Number three, if you watch Brett Hundley, you know, without, you know, go back and watch him last year. Everybody talks about how much better he was last year. Well, he lost both his top wide receivers in last year's draft, mainly Shaq Evans, who ended up being a third-round pick, and that hurt him. You go back and watch that very first game of this year against Virginia. And I watched that tape in lieu of not only the quarterbacks, but I also watched it again from the Virginia perspective for this week to get a better understanding of how good Anthony Harris is, the safety from Virginia. And I got to tell you, UCLA, that Brett Hundley basically won that game on his own. Some of the throws he made, he was consistently under duress. He had people at his feet, at his midsection the entire game. Made some key throws, made some key runs. I just think that he gets it. And is he a perfect, completed project? No. But the same thing that I said when Blake Bortles came out last year, I don't think Blake Bortles was ready to enter day one and be a starter. I know he got forced into it,
But I think he's about as far along as Blake Bortles was last year when he came out. That's where I see Brett Hundley. There's still some progression reads that he's going to need, but I totally agree with you. I don't think that fourth quarterback is going to get there because I don't think Garrett Grayson has elite intangibles, elite arm strength, elite accuracy, and I don't think Bryce Petty is ready to be an every down under center type quarterback. So I think there will only be three, and that'll be my three. But I'm going to give you a quick second to rebut, and then we're going to get into our rankings because, like I said, I want to leave plenty of time for when Mr. Galco stops by, so we got plenty of time to talk to him about the prospects.
Yeah, brilliant, Bryce. Excellent. And what you said about Bryce Petty, you know, when we done the show, I went back, looked at some tape, and I have seen some issues with his deep ball. You know, he does show a dodgy deep pass. But looking at the Bruins, UCLA Bruins Pro Day, you know, Brett Hundley completed 57 of 60 passes, one drop, you know, and just showing off his impressive athleticism. You know, coached by Jim Moran, like you said, I agree 120%, but, you know, playing in that pro offense, pro-style offense, is such a lesser learning curve when you come into the NFL, because you understand reads, you understand your drops, you played under center, you know, you know it all, you can come in and contribute right away. Be interested to see if he can come in and contribute as a rookie. I know Jim Mora, I think he suggested that he wouldn't be ready. I know, to me, I don't know why a coach would say that about his player, but, you know, that's probably the honesty we need, you know, out of a Chip Kelly, as you said earlier. But, yeah, agree 100%. You know, he's, I could see him getting picked. I know the Texans are having him in for a visit, so that's quite a big sign there. So, see how it goes with him. Sure, he will be drafted in the first round, right? And then, you know, it's definitely a bit of a drop-off. I agree with that also. Good points. Excellent points.
All right, Rodri, let's get into our rankings because we only have about 15 minutes until our guest stops by, and I want to make sure we got plenty of time for that and we have our rankings done. So to start the rankings, I'll start off with my set of cornerbacks. You'll start second on cornerbacks, and then when we switch to safeties, we'll flip-flop. You'll go first on safeties, and I'll go last on safeties. Starting with corners, what I look for when I look for a safety is fluid hips, the ability to turn and run, the ability to come up and help and run support, because the NFL, you cannot be a one-dimensional cornerback, just like you can't be a one-dimensional safety. You can't be somebody who's great at tackling but horrific in coverage at the cornerback position or vice versa. You got to be able to handle the edge if a sweep play comes outside. And this was tough. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I've seen a couple guys, highly, highly rated guys. I watched several films. I tried to watch at least three films on every one of these guys. Tried to watch, you know, their best tape, their worst tape, and then, you know, a lot of times what I like to do is try and watch a tape from the previous year so you can see the improvement. And obviously, you know, it's not always available to us, so it makes it difficult. But without any further ado, I actually have a tie at number five. And there would not be a tie at number five if not for an injury, so let me start there. Number five, tied at number five, I have Ifu Ikpe-Olamo, the Oregon Duck product. The biggest weakness this kid has is he's 5'9", and that's not going to change. Everybody keeps talking about his height. You know, he's not very tall. You know, he's not going to make it. All I will say is look at Exhibit A. Look at the Miami Dolphins and Brett Grimes. Brett Grimes is exactly that height, 5'9". You go back and you watch the Detroit Lions game from last year, and you know this, and some Lions fans will say, hey, the ball was underthrown, what have you. But the bottom line is if you have leaping ability in the NFL, that makes up for height. I can be 5'9", you can be 6 foot, but if you have a 30-inch vertical and I have a 42-inch vertical, I'm actually jumping higher than you are. And I think that that's often underlooked. I think this kid's pretty explosive. He's an absolute ball magnet. If anything, the reason he's at 5 is because he's a little overly aggressive, and he can sometimes bite on fakes. But this kid, you know, he had a lot of opportunities. Obviously suffered the injury right before the bowl game in his senior year. But, I mean, this kid had 14 interceptions through the last 2 years, highly productive, highly skilled, only 5'9", like I said, 195 pounds. You know, some people will kind of hold that against him, but he's super competitive, super alert, great at reading and reacting. Also tied at number five for me, I've got Kevin Johnson, the Wake Forest product. Couple things that I really like about this kid. Number one, started 41 collegiate games. Now, you think about that there for a minute. Typical college season is 10 games long. He started 41 games. So you're talking about a kid with a ton of experience that played in a long time in the ACC against some of the most elite competition. You're talking about playing against Miami, Florida State, Clemson, you know, a lot of teams that are traditionally ranked in the top five, and he played really well against all those guys. He could be even ranked a little higher on some people's list, and I wouldn't bat an eye. Excellent in coverage, very aggressive, a better tackler than I had originally given him credit for going back and watching more tape. He kind of reminds me, not the same skill set, but just the demeanor and how he reacts to the ball as Kyle Fuller from last year. The Bears, the kid that was drafted by the Bears from Virginia Tech, I think he's got a lot of skills that will translate. Number four, I've got Quentin Rollins, the kid from Miami, Ohio. I was very tempted to put this kid at five and put Kevin Johnson at four, but you cannot turn on a tape of Quentin Rollins, even though it's only 1 year, Rodri, and not be impressed. I've seen him make the way he tracks the ball. The only thing I can compare it to is it looks like Mike Trout, who's a baseball player, just for those fans out there who don't know, looks like a baseball player, a center fielder, running down a fly ball. He's got incredible tracking skills. I watched several times where the defender was slightly past him, and he'd track the ball right over his shoulder and catch the ball out in front of him. Very good tackler, very aggressive. And the thing is, he's got one collegiate year of football experience. You're talking about a kid that is uber raw and already a potential star. Had 7 interceptions this last year. Very good player, very good tackler for somebody with such limited experience, very good read and react skills, and he's got excellent change of direction. My only concern with him, he does not have elite speed. If you watch Quentin Rollins on tape, if you had an NFL-caliber quarterback, there's at least a half dozen plays that I've seen, let's say 2 plays a game, where the ball would have been, where it would have been a touchdown if the quarterback threw a better ball. He gets beat way too often, which kind of plays into the 40 time, which I believe was a 4.67. I personally think he's better as a cover two guy. A lot of people, he's got man coverage skills, but, you know, I watched him in press coverage. I think with a safety over the top allowing him to be physical, I think he could be excellent. I think he could be excellent, and I got him at number four. Number three, I'm going to try and pick this up. Number three, I have Marcus Peterson. First time I watched the tapes, if you go back to the beginning of the shows, I told you I thought he was probably the best corner in this draft. I watched the tape against Jalen Strong in Arizona State. I watched the tape against Washington State and some other guys. He has unbelievable physical gifts. There is some off-the-field issues, and I actually think, like Olamu from Oregon, I think that at times Peterson can be too aggressive. I watched a couple times in run support. He's very good in run support, but him take direct angles allowing the running back to get outside of him. So that's something that I wasn't really fond of. Number two, P.J. Williams. Now, I've heard a lot of talk about people switching P.J. Williams to safety. I don't see it. P.J. Williams is an absolute baller, and it wouldn't shock me if 2 years from now he's the best corner from this class. Undeniably, he's the best run stopper in this class, including safeties. and I'll say that again, including Landon Collins, to me, he's the best run stopper in this class. I watched him take on pulling guards. I watched him take on fullbacks and just completely shut down in the hole. He's an aggressive tackler, and he reminds me, maybe it's the speed, maybe it's the doubters, I don't know, but I just keep getting Joe Haden in my head. Everybody talking about, oh, look how slow he ran. You know, he dropped 4 or 5 picks, and I'm sure the Browns appreciated the fact that he did, because the reality is, when you're out on the field, as you know, Rodri, the difference between, you know, 4.55 and 4.61 isn't that much, you know. And he's been playing with that speed for a long time, and so he plays pretty darn well. So I can't really knock him there. Number one, Trey Waynes. I got to give it to Trey Waynes, even though on tape you could make the argument P.J. Williams is better. I look at the intangibles. You're talking about a guy who's over 6 foot tall at 6'1", runs a 4.35 40, jump out of the building, and I think his best football is ahead of him. So when I couple all those things together, his ability to diagnose a play, how quick he is, the fact that I think he's a potential shutdown, lockdown corner because of his height and speed and length, I got to go Trey Waynes at number one. Give me your top five.
Oh, fantastic. Very similar, Brian. Again, very similar to yours, man. It's crazy how similar we think. It's quite shocking. I'm going to start with five. A lot of people have written this guy off, you know. Comes out of USC, Josh Shaw, USC, 6 foot, 201 pounds. I really enjoyed watching him play at USC. For me, the knock on him, Bright, pre-draft interviews are going to be critical for him, crucial to see how he can go. You know, he lost a lot of money. He's lost a lot of money because he fabricated a story about saving his drowning nephew from a pool. I don't know why he did that. I don't know why he said that. You know, he didn't need to do it. Didn't need to say it. But I think it's cost him, you know, a few draft spots. Bottom line is, but you can play. You know, he can be great in my opinion. You know, he's muscled up. He's got a good frame. You know, and the NFL. And I say, you know, the way I'm picking my top five is just looking at how the game is played. To me, is, you know, the NFL is becoming fascinated with the passing game. And you know, this all my top fives as yours. You know, play to that, and my safeties also play into that, into the way the game is played today. Josh Shaw again, you know, the NFL loves these big corners, and he's a great tackler. He was a co-captain at the University of South California, where you are there. He's co-captain, and he just got amazing football intelligence from what I've been reading about him. And, you know, he says, ask anybody who knows me, you know, to say one bad thing about me, and you know, you ain't going to find anybody. So, yeah, he made a mistake. You know, we all make them. He made his, and, you know, he might pay for it a little bit, but he do his playing on the field. I think Josh Shaw is going to be a great cornerback in this league. I get him at five. At four, I got Kevin Johnson. Like you, I've seen a lot of people having him as the second best corner in this league, in this draft class. I can't knock it. You know, 6 foot, 188. That 41 starts as well, but that's what opened my eyes to him. You know, didn't miss a game through injury during his college career. That's rare. You know, that shows how durable he is, and does show that he's tough. You know, for me, his value lies in his coverage skills. He's not intimidating as a hitter, but he gets the job done tackling. You mentioned Kyle Fuller. I can see a lot of Kyle Fuller in. Also, Tracy Porter for me. You know, he sort of emulates. Going to be a good on Kevin Johnson. At three, I got Marcus Peters also at Washington, 6 foot, under 97 pounds. A few red flags with him. You'd have to explain his dismissal from Washington. He had repeated clashes with the coaching staff there, you know, but no doubt his skill set, you know, he has everything you need to be great in the NFL. Compares a bit to Aqib Talib coming out of Kansas. I remember Aqib Talib, when he came out, he had a few issues, and he plays a lot like Aqib Talib, so Marcus Peters at three. Like him. At two, I got PJ Williams as well, Bright. I watched the films you mentioned. That national championship game, you know, as a sophomore, he had the MVP, game MVP. That was a standing performance that day. And I think, you know, when you rank and sort of, you know, evaluate these kids, you've got to look at their 3 years. You know, you've got to look back at a sophomore and, you know, you hit the nail on the head of that for me. You can't just go off one season, the last season, because it doesn't come down to that. We've seen it before. You know, you've got to go back and look at the whole college career as a whole, and for me, PJ Williams, he could be the best in this draft class. I agree with you 100% on that. 6 foot, 194 pounds. When all is said and done, will he be the best? I think so. You know, possibly. Potential to start day one, and go back watch that national championship game. He was outstanding that day, and you know, really opened my eyes. And I sort of had him pegged here just because of that, you know, and the way he played. At one, I'm going to go Trey Waynes also, Michigan State, no doubt. All these cornerbacks for me is going to take, you know, you've got a 5-yard bump rule in the NFL. You haven't got that in college. It's who sort of, you know, who gets that down, who locks that down, and, you know sort of learned you need a good coach, but you've got to learn that yourself. You've got to sort of have a natural ability to play that far, a 5-yard bump rule. It's not something that comes easy for these corners. Like you mentioned Joe Aiden. I'm going to mention Joe Aiden as well, Trey Waynes. Imagine Joe Aiden sort of mastered that, and now he's like one of the best corners in the league at the Browns. He's got a potential to be a lockdown corner also, Trey Waynes. And like you said, his combine was outstanding performance at the combine. Opened all sorts of possibilities, you know, anywhere in the top 10 now, I think is, you know, top 5 possibly for him now. Is not the question. So, yeah, Trey Waynes at one. So, Joshua 5, Kevin Johnson 4, Marcus Peters 3, PJ Williams 2, Trey Waynes at 1.
All right, excellent. Now, when our guest gets here, I will interject. But while we have a few minutes, and we'll try and, you know, maybe limit the scouting report on the individual player to maybe a sentence or two, but give me your top 5 safeties now.
Okay, but go 5. Jaquiski Tart, Samford, 6'1", 221. You know, terrific size, very physical tackler. You know, you play best in a robber scheme coming up against the run. Want to see what he can do in coverage, but he won a 4.5 240 at the combine. I'm impressed with that. Jaquiski Tart at 5. At 4, I got Adrian Amos, Penn State, 6 foot, 218 pound. Another big guy, but I think, you know, he looked so smooth in coverage and played the ball so well. You know, from what I watched, really like what I've seen on tape when they were at Penn State, and you know, his combine impressed me a great deal at the combine. He's a playmaker and should be a good pro guy for years. Adrian Amos, I got him at 4. At 3, we were talking about him earlier, Anthony Harris, Virginia. 183 pound, you know, 6'1", though, bro. You got a long frame. 183 pound. He's a productive 3-year starter at Virginia, and he's got very good football intelligence. And I think that's what's going to set him apart with the scouting of his professional franchises. You're going to see that he's football smart and ready to go. You know, the modern game, like I said, when I started evaluating, chips in down the tee. He's got a size and style to play it and be great at it. So Anthony Harris at 3. At 2, I'm going to go down Deron Smith, Fresno State, 5'10", 200 pound. You know, he checks off every list as a safety guy. He does it all. Real ball hawk as well. Reminds me a little bit of Ed Reed. I got that in my notes here. I remember watching him and thinking Ed Reed because of his ability. He can sort of cover that slot receiver as well, which is going to be vital for these safeties to be able to do. And his willingness to get downhill and tackle is there, but you know, he's a difference maker. With the tackles, you can sort of pump the team up around it. So Deron Smith at 2. One, obviously, Landon Collins. I love Landon Collins. Almost 230 pounds. They're like a linebacker, but he runs like a corner. You know, he's arguably my favorite player in the draft. Him and, you know, I got him up there with Williams. One's tempo setter. Plays downhill. His style is awesome. He's great to watch. I love watching these type of players come in and make that big bang. And, you know, sort of change the game, gets the fans pumped up. He got the potential to be a first year Pro Bowler if he can get the game down early. And his angles are super. I've never seen anything like it. Fantastic angles. And you know, Alabama, that's 5 years on a trot for them with first round picks, I think. So he's going to follow that craft from Alabama. Landon Collins at 1.
Well, I will tell you, Rodri, and this is the first time that we've had vastly different lists. But I've got 2 guys in my top 5 that didn't even make your list. My number two guy did not make your list. Like I said, I had a bunch of guys that a lot of people felt differently. I watched a lot of tape on these guys, and I really tried hard to, you know, basically just go off of how I felt. Number five for me, I have Anthony Harris at five. I think he's great at covering the intermediate routes. You go watch the tape. Excellent at reacting to the quick slant, the drag routes, the halfback in the flat. Very good at that. Very good tackler. Led the FBS in interceptions a year ago. Not this last year, obviously, but the year prior with eight. So he can be a ball hawk. I've got some question marks about his ability to cover deep or be able to cover in single man, you know, having to play cover one. There's some questions there. Number four for me, and this is, you know, this my list isn't vastly different than yours yet, but number four for me is Eric Rowe. Now, some people will say, you know, hey, that's cheating as a corner, but he was actually an all-conference safety before Keith McGill went to the draft last year and the staff asked him to play corner. I think he's a better safety than a corner, and I think you could put him as high as number two without any question. The real problem for me is he hasn't played safety in over a year, and two, and this might be the bigger factor, is I think cornerback is a more valuable position, so you wonder, are teams going to be willing to draft this kid as a safety? If they're willing to draft him as a safety, I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Rowe shocked everybody and went in round one. Just throwing that out there. It's a possibility. Number three for me, I have Deron Smith. He was the first safety that I put the tape in, and I got to tell you, he put up a very high bar to live up to, Rodri, because he is a very, very good tackler. Very good in run support, very sure tackler. You know, not gonna put a devastating hit on anybody, but he's very good at fighting through the trash, you know, to get to the ball carrier and drag him down. He also offers phenomenal special teams value as a gunner. He plays, you know, he played as a gunner on a Fresno State, caused a few fumbles on special teams as well. As a very astute at picking the ball off, as he had 14 interceptions over the last 2 years. Number two, and this is the guy that nobody wants to give any love to, and I'm going to just tell you, go back and watch some tape on this kid again. I think he's outstanding. Small school guy, and that is Abraham Campbell from Northwestern. I watched the tape against Jameis Winston against Florida State. I watched the tape from 2013, and I also watched the tape against Ohio State. And I was blown away by this kid's skills. He's great in coverage, deep coverage. He handled deep responsibilities. He played a lot of cover one, which meant he had, you know, he was responsible for both sides. Very good tackler in space. He comes up and fills the hole extremely fast and hard. I was blown away by the kid. I was really excited by him. I think he's going to – I wouldn't be shocked, Rodri, and especially in a really weak safety class, I wouldn't be shocked to hear this kid's name towards the end of the first round. I think he's probably a second or third round selection, but I wouldn't be shocked to hear his name in the first round. I think he's that good. And then number one, obviously, Landon Collins, great player, great ability, you know, great all-around safety, very good player. I think he's actually better, and no disrespect to his former teammate, but I think he's actually better than Mark Barron was. Didn't have the numbers, but I think he's a better safety, and Mark Barron was drafted in the top 10, as you know. So, I mean, I think that bodes well. A lot of people think he's going to be there. You know, I see these mocks where he goes 25 or, you know, between 25 and 30. I don't think there's any way he gets past the top 15, but that's just my take.
That's it. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a bit of a shame to see how Mark Barron has sort of gone on the pros as well. I think, you know, hopefully he can sort of bounce back as well. But also awesome top five, right? You know, that kid I'm looking at him now, yeah, Northwestern. I'll definitely come back and look at some more tapes. Fantastic, buddy, fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing that, you know, I was looking at, because I wrote down notes about all these guys. I got a couple guys, Rodri, that, you know, because I, you know, like I said, I spent a real good portion of time, you know, because I want people to know that when, you know, Rodri or Brian or the Sports City Chefs give you a player to be excited about, that you know that it's legitimate. You know, I like I said, I watched at least three tapes on every single one of these guys. So I'm going to give you a couple sleepers as well. Some of these will be deeper sleepers than others, but, you know, there's a lot of safety teams that need safeties out there. Number one, Demarius Randall from Arizona State just missed my list. He's got all the tools. He's big, physical, fast. He's still learning the game, okay? Took two years off after high school before going to Arizona State. Went to a junior college first. So he only has 1 year of high-level production. And I think that that's going to scare some teams. 1 year. We've seen a lot of these one-year wonders and not always work out. So I think that that may scare some people, but I think that he could be a guy that when we look back on this, we go, oh, you know what? He was a player. Number two, in a league that's as pass-heavy as we currently are, you know, they're passing the ball more than ever before. I'm going to throw out one name, and I'm not impressed with this kid's ability versus the run. Matter of fact, I will tell you, I watched three tapes, Rodri. I don't think I ever saw this kid get a solo tackle. And for a safety, you know that's bad. But he's got unbelievable ball skills. Led the nation in picks this last year. He almost picked off Jameis Winston three times, and that is Gerard Holman from Louisville. He's got incredible ball skills, but he's got Antonio Cromartie disease in the sense that he does not want to tackle anybody. He's a major liability in run support, but for a team that's just strictly looking for a center fielder, somebody that can help them ball skills-wise, help to turn the ball over, help to keep balls in front of them, and help to defend, he's incredible. He's probably the best coverage guy, man coverage, you need a slot guy, something like that. He's probably the best in the class, but he is absolutely horrific at tackling. You and me probably tackle better, and we don't even work on it. So those are my guys. Do you have any sleepers?
I just want to mention one guy, but we didn't mention none of us had Byron Jones. Paul Pascalani moved him. You know, he's been fired now from Connecticut where he played. But that broad jump really opened eyes towards him. And you said Antonio Cromartie. Byron Jones really reminds me of Antonio Cromartie in so many ways. He does have a bit of that tackle syndrome, but that, you know, 12-foot-3-inch broad jump needs to be mentioned. I feel, you know, they lost Dwayne Gratz and B.D. Ray Wilson for the NFL out of Connecticut. He came in and done a good job. I think he can be a solid player. Type of player I think New England might be shocking us with, picking him up at the end of the first round props. But, he just missed my list. I just preferred others, you know. Fantastic list, by the sleepers. I'll definitely look into those a bit more. Gotta say Jalen Collins as well is another one I like, but we'll see how it goes. Fantastic. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and let me go ahead and just be the first to apologize. While we're on the show, you know, I try to focus solely on the show, and I actually had a text from Eric stating that unfortunately couldn't make it. He had other obligations that came up. So I apologize to you and the other fans. We'll try and get him on next week. But we do have just a couple minutes left, Rodri. I did want to mention a couple cornerbacks that I was intrigued by that, you know, I wanted to throw out there that maybe some other people hadn't heard of yet. You mentioned Jalen Collins. I'm not a big Jalen Collins fan. I think that physically he's probably a first-round selection. I think technique And cornerback-wise, I wouldn't draft him before the second or third round, and I think he'll be long gone by then. So I just have my fingers crossed that my team, the Niners, do not draft him, because I do not think he's going to be a starter from day one. He's got a lot of work. A couple kids that I do like, though, that I want to give some love to, Jacob E. Glenn, Central Florida. I think this kid's got a lot of talent. Co-defensive player of the year I want to say that's Conference USA. If I have it wrong, I apologize, but he was co-defensive player of the year in his respective conference with Tank Jakes. Also, another kid, DeJuan Smith from Florida Atlantic. It's a kid a lot of people thought may have came out last year, but decided to stay in school. Another year wiser, another year older, some more experience under his belt. He's a kid that's got 3-plus years of starting experience, very limited injury history. I think he's another kid that could really, really do well for somebody. So those are the two guys that, you know, I really like quite a bit. Rodri, another incredible show with you, buddy. We got about 3.5 minutes left. Any final thoughts, anything that you'd like to throw out there before we wrap up another wonderful edition of the NFL Front Office Show?
No, brilliant. Doing it again with Brad, always a pleasure. I really enjoy it. It's great. I've got a couple of players. You know, Lorenzo Dawson's another one projected at round 5 in most analysts, like CBS, and then got him in round 5. I can see him going earlier than that. You know, fantastic player. He's full shoulder, athletic, well-proportioned build. You know, he's just a good player, and it's just a shame, though. We've done top 10s, top 15s, and we've been mentioning these kids. But plays at the Tulane. And, I can see him being a good player, being a good pro. Just looking forward to the draft. How about we know we're a couple of weeks away? I think we covered. Now we've done all positions, and, you know, it's exciting. I'm going to listen back on the show, see what we got, write it down, look at a bit more tape, and hopefully come back next week and put a few things out. If I change my mind on anything, just let it be known, and just sort of sit back, watch the draft, and see how it all unfolds. Great doing the show again with you, bud. SportsCityChefs.com. People out there, you know, listen to the interviews, read the blogs. Just want to see Dr. Teddy Bridgewater do well. You know, I know I've said a lot about him in the past, because we've got a lot of time for him. Very intelligent quarterback. Sort of thought he was, you know, undermined a bit last year. You know, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Hopefully Adrian Peterson can get that sorted out, and he can sort of have him to lean on a bit. But I just want to mention Ted Bridgewater, because I've been watching a bit of things and I'm reading up about him. And, you know, I done a blog on him 2 years ago. It's on the website for anybody out there who wants to go and read it. It's a good read. You know, he's a very, very inspirational kid, very inspirational story. I just want to say that, and just a pleasure doing a show with you. But it's great, you know, listening to your opinions, and I'm learning off you as much as I'm, you know, learning off anything. So, you know, you really know your stuff, and it's just an honor, but I really enjoyed it. All the best.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rodri. I everything you just said, I will ditto. Here's what we have scheduled for the next couple weeks, folks. So, Rodri, as you know, buddy, we have essentially 2 more weeks till the draft, because if you look at how the schedule unfolds, we essentially have, 3 more weeks until the draft. We have the 14th, the 21st, and then the 28th. Next week, we are going to play the NFL draft game. We try and do this every year on the Front Office Show, where we go position by position, and we do an over-under on how many of that particular skill set will be drafted in the first round, and then the following show we'll come back and retally. The final 2 weeks, the final week I'm going to leave open for callers and things like that. But 2 weeks from today, on the 21st, we will do our last NFL mock draft. Rodri, I believe last time I did the odd numbers and you did the even, so this time you will do the odd, I will do the even. And there may be some interesting things that come out of it. You know, we may shake some things up, some guys that we think may go higher, you know. We may select a guy that you're like, who? So you may want to listen in just to see who's selected and who's taken. But from all of us here at the Sports City Chefs, just want to thank my co-host, Rodri Jones, the Sports City Chefs Network, and all the fans for continuing to listen and support us. Thank you so much. Tune in next 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern time, or 5 o'clock. What's the time zone considered, Rodri?
It's the Greenwich Mean Time, Brian. It's GMT.
Okay.
So that's the time zone. Yeah, 5 o'clock here in the UK. Listening, people,
yeah.
Thanks for the support.
All right, and so listen, 5 o'clock. Listen, 5 o'clock for those folks in the UK from all of us here at Sports City Chefs. Thank you so much. God bless and take care.